Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and those also in the online space as well. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Now, as Pastor Kai had said, we are beginning the second wave of our disciple-making faith exploits. And usually the first half of the year, we will talk about discipling the generations. And this year, we have spoken about it, and then we have climaxed it in our center camp. And for yours, it's in Malacca, isn't it? And so, as we begin the 40 days, usually from 1st July, we have used this time to talk about discipling Singapore. So this is the first Sunday of the next 5 Sundays of topical sermons on discipling Singapore. So for today, please open up the scriptures with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. This will be the first sermon for discipling Singapore with a focus on praying for our land. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. In the ESV Bible, let me read. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, would you rain down your love and peace over our land and people? Heal every broken heart. Restore hurting families. And mend all relationships. Let every neighborhood flourish and replace their despair with your hope. Ignite, dear Lord, our city with the fire of revival so that we may experience redemption in every area of our life. Let your name be praised and exalted in our nation so that Singapore can be your holy and dwelling place. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When the Apostle Paul and mentor wrote this letter of 1 Timothy to his spiritual son, he first warned them on the false teachers and the importance of sound doctrine in chapter 1. He then went on to deal with the order and conduct of the church. And guess what is the first agenda, the first order of the day? Well, the need of prayer in the church. The need of prayer in the church. And immediately you will hear loud amen and hallelujah down the centuries of church life. Why? Because we say, but of course, pray we should. Look at verse 1. When the Bible says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. One Bible teacher wrote, there are at least 7 different Greek nouns for prayers, and 4 of them are hambalang used here, meaning 4 of them are used here. Why? Supplications, wouldn't that be enough? No, prayer, no, thanksgiving, no, intercessions. What is he trying to tell us? Let me breeze through each of these words quickly. Supplications carry the idea of offering a request for a felt need. All of us have felt needs. And God is interested in what you go through in your life. Prayers is the most common word that's been translated and used for prayer in the scriptures, in the New Testament especially. And it is an act of worship and reverence, not just an expression of our prayer needs and wants. Intercessions is best translated as petitions. And the basic meaning here is not just a ramble of a list of petition, but it is to draw near. The heart of this intercession is that you draw near to a person and you converse confidently with him. And finally, giving of thanks reminds us that we not only give thanks to God for answered positive prayers, but also for unanswered prayer. Why? Because thanksgiving is also about trusting God for who He is and what He will do for us in His sovereign grace and sovereign will. And this whole lot just come in this one verse. So one particular scholar also commented that we should not worry too much about the distinction of each of these words because they are designed to build upon each other for emphasis. Now, in this line, I like what the Message Bible, how they paraphrase it. And simply it says, pray everywhere you know how for everyone you know. In Singlish, just pray lah. Just pray lah. So next time you use your pay lah, just remember the scriptures, just pray lah. As you reread verse 1 again, you'll notice that Paul's heart is not just for the church to engage in all kinds of prayers for all people, but that this all kinds of prayer should be the first concern and priority for the church. That's why he began by saying, first of all, first of all. He then went on to underscore two important groups of people that the church must pray for especially. You see that in verse 2, when the Bible says, pray for kings and all who are in high positions. And then jump to verse 4, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So for the rest of our time together, I will focus on these two groups of people that God wants us to saturate our prayers. The first group, pray for all rulers. The scripture says, first of all, pray for kings and all who are in high positions. You see, at this point of writing, the Emperor Nero was the ruler of the Roman Empire. And this is the period where Christianity suffered the most persecution and torture. History tells us that some of the most horrific methods of torture and execution was reserved for those who refused to give up their faith. Christians had to fight against beasts in the arena, and many were burned at the stake simply just to light up his garden. This was also the same emperor that later on killed the Apostle Paul and Peter. In other words, as you try to sense what Paul is saying, we are not just told to pray for good rulers, that's easy to do, but to pray especially for bad, wicked leaders. And no matter how wicked and unreasonable they may be, the Bible says, pray for them. As you reflect upon this, immediately many of us will say that this is very difficult to do. Pray for cruel, wicked leaders. No, we just want them to be dead. I mean, think about this. It's difficult enough to pray for difficult children, difficult spouses, difficult bosses, difficult subordinates. You want me to pray for difficult rulers that don't deserve our respect at all? We have only one kind of prayer for this kind of wicked rulers. And pardon me for using this term. It is go to hell prayer, yeah. Just go to hell, yeah. But you see, the Bible tells us the prayer benefit is not just for them. No matter how good or how bad they are, it's for us. Because the scripture in verse 2 writes that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. One Bible teacher helps us understand this better when he says the idea of quiet is to refer to the circumstances around us, while peaceful refers to the calm attitude within us. And all this is to result in lives that are godly and honorable. My friends, before we get carried away with this prayer, it is very important to note that this is not a Christian prayer for many of us who are middle and upper class to lead a quiet middle upper class life free from all stresses, troubles, and affliction. Not at all. This is a specific prayer for rulers and authorities to create a conducive environment so that we, His people, God's people, can lead an exemplary life that others may see God in us. And this is the greatest of all purpose for a peaceful and safe land. Not that we might spend all our time building our castles and our palaces, but that others might find refuge, generosity, and love through it. Think about what's happening in Gaza, in Ukraine, or any war-torn country that is happening today. The Bible tells us, pray for all rulers, not just your favorite ones. Pray for all rulers so that we may all, the people, might experience peaceful, quiet, godly, and dignified lives. And the Bible then concludes in verse 3 by saying, this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior. Right, sisters, as we pause to apply this, the Bible says, yes, first of all, pray for all rulers. This morning, I have some questionnaire for us in the pigeonhole to see where we are in some of these injunctions. So are you ready? We have a QR code in the pigeonhole right now. Let's participate, okay? And let's see where we are as a congregation in our prayer life. Are you ready? Okay, you can scan the pigeonhole. And there are 6 questions inside there. Not very difficult. All right, it ranges from never to always. Okay, go ahead, have some fun. Okay, I think most of us have finished. Well, before I did this questionnaire and surveyed it, right, I had some guesses. All right, and so when I look at the first one in my prayers, I ask God for things that I need and desire. I kind of predicted that most of us will score on the often and always. And so tell me, who are the 2% who say never ask things for your need and desire? I love to meet you, yeah. That means all your needs and desires are met by God already. Or by your wife. Oh no. I mean, fantastic. You have no needs and desires. Fantastic, right? But I kind of guess we'll all be on the often or why? Because we have needs, we have wants, we have desires, and the Heavenly Father is interested in that too. And therefore we bring all this in our prayers to God. Yes. Okay, second. In my prayers, I spend time in adoration and worship. Now, I kind of think that it is a sometimes when I was thinking about this, because very often we tend to skip this adoration and worship part. Because we say, no, God, you're good all the time already, so don't need to tell you you're good and always all the time. Yeah, let's just get to the real stuff. Let me tell you what I need here. sometimes maybe our conscience will prick us, and then we will maybe do some thanksgiving before we ask God for something. But whatever it is, I think adoration and worship is part of prayers. All right, and if you don't know how to praise God and worship God, then the simplest is turn on the music piece. Turn on the hymn, it will take you 3 minutes at least to worship God and listen to the lyrics and agree with the saints of God down the century of how worthy, how good God is, and then praise Him in that regard. Okay? Now, the third question. In my prayers, I seek to keep quiet and listen to God. All right? Now, this practice of listening to God in our prayers is often a misdiscipline as well, right? Because we rattle off, then we have no time to listen to God. We just want God to hear us. Okay, quiet, just do my will, yeah. But I really thank God for many ones of us who is, we have this tension now. When we pray, yes, we also want to listen to God. So if we can include this in our discipline, it will be very, very wonderful. Next one. In my prayers, I give thanks to God for answered and unanswered prayer, often and always. Fantastic. Let's really praise God for such a discipline. Next one. In my prayers, I pray for others. Yes, people we love, we pray for them. That's natural. Don't have to force us to do so. That's why top of our prayer list is ourselves, our family. That's it. Our CGs, our friends, loved ones. We'll naturally pray for them. And finally, in my prayers, I pray for rulers and leaders in high position. I really predicted this to be on the right-hand side. Yeah. Maybe many of us, never mind, they don't need our prayers. Yeah. Usually on the often and always. Right? So I have this prediction that this is what will happen. Now, I do recognize how many of us feel. This morning, remember, the call of the scripture is that we might pray for rulers. And so this reveals to us where we are in our prayer for our rulers. But I think you've been praying a lot for Pastor Chung Kai. That's why he's so prosperous, yeah. But we need to pray for our rulers. And most of us are on the often and always. We don't really do it for them. And my question is why? Why is this so? Because I really think we think that they are not our problem. We also think that I'm not responsible for these people. And then we also have this sense that, you know, pray for them for what? Nothing will change, what? And as a result of this, we don't really bother much about this. I'm not just speaking for you, I'm speaking for myself, yeah. But the Bible tells me this day, this is very important. And therefore, it challenges us this day to right now to how do we do this? How do we bring this back? Because we all know we're supposed to pray for them, but we don't. Maybe once a year at our National Day, we pray for them. But how do we get this into an every week sort of routine? Because once it's in our every week routine, it means something. And so I want to recommend to you something that we already know in Covenant EFC. How many of you remember the prayer hand? You remember the prayer hand? The prayer hand has been taught by Pastor Edmund Chan for the longest time, and different ones of us have used it for our prayer life. And in those days, we recommend just pray 5 minutes a day. The first minute, the thumb. The thumb represents, of course, you're very good, lah. So this is where we say, God, you are so good. And so you have a time of worship and adoration, all right? 1 minute. Then the index finger is a pointing finger, right? And usually leaders do that. And so in the index finger, that's where you can pray for leaders, rulers, and those in authorities. Please include your pastors as well. In the center finger, which is the tallest finger, it represents the significant others. And significant others, there are many. Your parents, your families, your privileged, all these people are significant people you want to pray for. Then the fourth finger, they say in the playing piano, there's a weak finger. And therefore, we pray for those who are sick, those who are unwell, and that's a good thing to do. And then finally, the final finger, the smallest finger, we say represent yourself. So put yourself at the last in terms of prayer needs, rather than the first in the prayer needs. All right? And in the last finger, then you pray for yourself and the needs that you have, which all of us have no problem in doing so. Okay? So we are expert in it, so that's not to worry. So in all this, if you are able to spend just 5 minutes a day, and you do it, you walk through the regime, I guarantee you, you will pray more than 5 minutes. All right? And how do you really do this? I encourage you, when you're taking public transport, when you're driving, you can do it, because I'm trying to practice this so that I don't listen to the radio, I don't do every other thing. I just focus that 5 to 10 minutes just to pray to the Lord with my wife. And once you get into the habit and the routine, it becomes important to you. Because whatever you pray for reveals the concerns of your heart. And therefore, the concerns of our heart should be the concerns that God has placed upon our hearts. And when we do so, we are able to grow in those areas. So use these 40 days of Love Singapore prayer to use this prayer hand as well as the prayer items that are listed in it. And let it kickstart our prayer. So it's not just once a year prayer for our rulers. If we can do so every week, once a week, I think it is pretty good. And then as a church, we have grown in our prayers for rulers. All right? How many of you remember the collapse of the Berlin Wall in 1989? Yeah, we all remember, right? May not remember the date, but remember the Berlin Wall falling. Yeah. You know, in May of 1989, at Leipzig, in Germany, in the historic church, St. Nicholas Church, where the Reformation had been introduced exactly 450 years earlier, there was a group of people who began to pray in one of the church rooms to read the Sermon of the Mount and to pray for the peace of the land. Now, this group expanded and they moved to a larger room, and very soon they moved to the church hall like this, and it quickly filled up. The Communist Party was very, very alarmed. And they started sending soldiers and authorities to attend this meeting and spy on them. while they threatened the gatherers, they temporarily jailed different people on their prayer nights. They would shut certain streets and try to block people from coming into the church. And then on October the 9th, 1989, some 2,000 individuals crowded into the church to pray for peace. And then another 10,000 people gathered outside. And then the miraculous happened. On November the 9th, 1989, the Berlin Wall came down. Now I know that beyond this concerted prayer momentums, God's hand was also orchestrating various factors, the political, the social, the economic, and even there was a wrong announcement in East Germany to say that the travel restriction to the West has been lifted, and that brought thousands of people to the wall. And that also brought down the wall in that sense. But regardless of all these factors, this story tells us that God's people took personal responsibility and they prayed for the rulers and the leaders of the land. And God, in His wisdom and timing and sovereign plan, brought this to pass. And my encouragement to you from the scripture this morning is that will you be a part of God's plan to touch and bless Singapore and our nation? Yes, the Bible calls us to pray for rulers and authorities, but there's a second group the Bible calls us to pray. Pray for the salvation for all people. Look at verse 4. Who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is Paul's version of John 3:16, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God desires all people to be saved because Christ died for all. And as one scholar said, salvation has been provided for all. In other words, blank check. Blank checks provided for all. But only those who accept it are saved. So we have a blank check right now. Fill in your name. Those who accept him will be saved. Friends, I cannot explain fully the mystery of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. But I know that both of these are taught in the scriptures, and somehow God in his sovereign wisdom harmonizes them into the salvation plan for individuals and nations. We have also known that prayer, as been taught today, it is a strategic part of God's will in reaching people and the world for Christ. Because the scripture says the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the pre-believing. And we have the responsibility, therefore, not just to pray, but to share the gospel with the lost. Right, sisters? We all know these things, that God calls us to do these things. But why is it we do not have the habit nor the lifestyle of praying and sharing the gospel? And in relation to Singapore, this is very crucial. Because we have a problem of retaining and winning the young for Christ, especially in the age range of 19 to 30 years old. It is the greatest number in this group that is turning to atheism. We also know that Christianity, in terms of the last decade of percentage of growth, we have plateaued already. And the Love Singapore leadership essentially is challenging hundreds of churches to say that in the next 10 years, if nothing is done, if we do not do anything at all, we will be heading towards a downward trend of the population of Christianity. Right, sisters? We got to start to pray. Because prayer is the beginning of every good blessings that will come from God. And my challenge to us this day is that every one of us take personal responsibility to pray and then to love someone to Christ. To love someone to Christ. Many of us were at our recent prayer in Woodland Center here, and we saw the video testimony of Lynn, how she never thought her father would come to know Christ. But pray she did. And over the years, finally, the father came to know God. How can we pray for the lost as part and parcel of our life on a weekly basis? Then, besides the prayer hand, how many of you can remember the blessed actions? These are all not new, but for those who are new to us, maybe this is new to you. So, for example, what is blessed? Blessed is to begin in prayer. If we don't begin in prayer, nothing happens. And then soon we can listen to our pre-believing. We can eat with them because that forges relationship. And then we have the opportunity to serve them. And from serving them, we will have the opportunity of sharing our testimony and also the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do this on a regular basis in our lifestyle. We will have an opportunity to pray and love someone into the kingdom. If we do this faithfully, I really believe that God will move our hearts, move our nation, and there will be a harvest of souls that will be touched by Jesus. We can do much over the next decade to move this needle. But it doesn't involve us learning some fantastic doctrines and here and there. No, just be faithful in blessing ones using these simple ways. And I want to encourage you, never do evangelism alone. Do as a group. Pray as a group. When we do it together, it's so much more easier to complement one another to share the gospel. On the 2nd of August, 8 p.m., Woodland Center will be doing your prayer walk in the city. I know Bukit Panjang will be at Bukit Panjang, but we will be doing prayer walking in the land itself. But Pastor Kai will be leading you guys. So tomorrow onwards, I understand the information will be rolling out. I want to encourage every one of us to go to the city and pray for our nation because this is a leadership transition year. And I trust that God will use our prayers to make impact for the future. Last Sunday, I was talking to a church member in the foyer area, and she related how the story of how the father came to know Christ. It says, my 9-year-old son was reading his Bible story to his grandpa, and he came to the part where he mentioned about hell. And he turned innocently to his grandfather and says, grandfather, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will be in hell. I do not recommend this for every one of us. But grandchildren, they get away with murder, yeah. So, because the grandpa was going through some health crisis at that point in time, he had a wake-up call from a 9-year-old grandson. And very soon, when the family brought him to church, he responded to the altar call and he received Jesus. Yes, his faith is very infantile in his infancy stage. And the daughter simply said to me, how can I connect him to some friendships in the church? How can I get someone to follow him up, etc., etc.? And she said, give me some resources so I can do it with my father as well, because she lives in Hong Kong. She's only here for a season and she's gone already. So she's desperately trying to connect the parents to a church community in Bukit Panjang. And I said, give me the name. We'll be very delighted to come alongside him to see this grandpa grow in his faith and be able to share the gospel with other people as well. I hear this story and I say, wow, how powerful that even a 9-year-old person can be an evangelist and a witness for the gospel. And I pray that will encourage all of us to take our place as we bless different ones into the kingdom. Let me close the sermon for this morning. The Apostle Paul laid down first importance of prayer in the life of the church. And he simply tells us, hey, focus your prayer for all rulers and for all the salvation of all people. And here comes the challenge. We as believers already know these instructions, but we are hardly motivated to do it. Why? And I say, because maybe we don't have sufficient love. We only pray for those things that we love. We also don't think that it's our responsibility sometimes. And we also don't have a habit of including this in the ebb and flow of life, which means every week somehow there is a rhythm. And I trust introducing to you the prayer hand and the blessed actions, if we are able to incorporate this into our weekly life, there will be a habit. And the more we pray, the more that we will develop the heart. And the more heart we have, the more we will pray. And it will feed on each other. And slowly as a church, our individual prayer life and our corporate life, prayer life will begin to grow. So my dear brothers and sisters, the early church father, Origen, says this about praying for rulers. We pray for kings and rulers, that with their royal authority, they may be found possessing a wise and prudent mind. The great Bible teacher John Stott related this story. He said, some years ago, I attended a public worship in a church. Well, that day the pastor was on vacation and there was a church leader praying the public prayers. And he opened the prayer simply by praying that the pastor that was absent might have a great vacation. And John Stott went and said, "Well, that's great. We need to pray for our pastors to have their good vacation." And then he prayed for two lady members of the church who were sick that they might be healed. And John Stott says, "Yeah, very necessary that we must pray for the sick." But then he said, "But that was all. The intercession can hardly have lasted 30 seconds. And John Stott commented, "I came away saddened, sensing that this church worshipped a little village god of their own devising." Let me repeat what he said again. "I came away saddened, sensing that this church worshipped a little village god of their own devising. There was no recognition of the needs of the world and no attempt to embrace the world in prayer." Friends, sisters, let's heed the words of Scripture this day, because first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And when we do so together as a people of God, it's the first step to disciple Singapore for God. Let's pray together. Let me give you 30 seconds just to allow this to sink in. It's not a call to more knowledge because you already know, but it's a call to take action. But you ask, how? Well, prayer hand, blessed actions. May God help us to take that little step. Be faithful. Be faithful. Do it as an individual. Do it as a family. Do it as a CG's covenant group. Do it together. It's much easier. And slowly but surely, our spiritual life and our prayer life will grow. And God will be delighted and He will use our prayers for the advance of the kingdom. This morning also, I want to speak to non-believers. If you are not a Christian today and you are worshipping in our midst, whether online or here, I want to urge you, there is one important prayer that you must make. And that is to invite Jesus into your life. Because the Bible says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son for you, that when you believe in His name, you will not perish, but you have everlasting life. That is God's greatest gift to you. He doesn't want to take from you. He wants to give to you. He is the answer to your every desire and need. He is your Savior and friend. He died on the cross for your sin so that you don't have to be judged eternally. So if you're a non-believer and this morning you want to invite Jesus into your life, just say this quietly in your hearts to God, because He hears your prayer. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I invite You into my life. Save me from my blindness. Help me to know my deepest needs can be met by You and You alone. Thank You, Jesus." If you have prayed this prayer quietly in your heart, here in the service and even those online, at the end of the service, just scan the QR code, get in touch with us, because we'd really love to show you how this Jesus can be your friend and Savior. Oh Father, we thank You, Lord, for 46 years of covenant history. We have been blessed, but Lord, we don't want to keep this blessing. We want to share this blessing. We want to be arise, dear Father, as Your sacred instrument, dear Lord, for such a time as this, to turn our nation Godward through prayers and to see many lost ones come to know Jesus. Use us, O God, to move this needle. We give thanks and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we use this song and to direct our hearts and our life to our nation that God loves and therefore the church must love, the God of the city.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like creation. You're the Lord of creation, the creator of all things. You're the King above all kings. You are. You're the strength.
Jesus Christ himself, greater things that we will do, Lord, because he has gone back to the Father. And today, dear Lord, you've entrusted this responsibility to the Church of Jesus Christ. And therefore, dear Father, as you invite us to come to the table, you reminded us, dear Father, through the teachings of the Apostle Paul, that we are to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. We know, dear Father, without prayer, there is no proclamation, dear Lord. And with that proclamation, dear Father, we know the Holy Spirit can use it, dear Lord, to touch many for Christ. So this day, dear Lord, we come humbly before you to accept once again the mandate of the gospel, Lord, given to the church. And we do so, Lord, in remembrance of you.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word. And we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.